Chapter 40. May 10th of Year 19. Marchenko. In theory, the plan looks good. Travel to the Majestic Draft, convince the Omniscients to cooperate, and then leave. However, they lack an important tool, a means of transportation. Marchenko considers the options. Their vehicle does not have to be particularly fast, because their target is moving toward them. However, they would have more time on board the Great Youth the sooner they reach the enormous ship. They picked a nice name, Marchenko thinks, even though he's not sure how correctly he translated it. Perhaps Gronolf still has a rocket standing around in some hangar. The aliens must have landed here somehow. Marchenko tries to put his question in pictures. Now he is annoyed the screen on his arm isn't larger. He alerts Gronolf to his attempt and has a few screen pixels fly back and forth between the planet and the spaceship.
Solna,
the alien says, a negation, and he waves his two load arms to the side, which probably corresponds to shaking his head. Then he moves his right touch arm to his shoulder and turns around. This probably indicates they should follow him. What is he up to? Gronolf only walks a few steps and then stops at the chair where Marchenko found him this morning. He leads Marchenko directly in front of it and then pushes his shoulders down. Marchenko sits down obediently. Gronolf touches a waist-high cabinet from which a control panel folds out. He types in something. Suddenly a kind of cap falls from the bottom of the console. It is connected to the cabinet via several cables. Gronolf unfolds it and places it on the middle of his belly. It adapts perfectly to the shape. Is this some kind of diagnostic device, maybe for ultrasound? On the other hand, such a device would be out of place in the control center. Maybe it is able to transmit data, like an EEG helmet. They still know too little about the alien's physiology. Marchenko automatically assumed their thinking organ was in the upper part of the torso, perhaps between the two arms, even though there is no head. However, there is no factual reason for that. There is space everywhere, and thinking requires little room. Now Gronolf removes the soft cap from his belly. There's a snapping sound when he pulls it off his skin. He takes it in his touch arms, examines it, checks the cable length, and stretches the material slightly. Then he gets up, steps in front of Marchenko, and carefully, almost reverently, places the cap on Marchenko's belly. I hope I won't make a mistake now, Marchenko thinks. Whatever this object is for, nothing will happen if he just leaves it on his torso. Nevertheless, he waits for a minute. Maybe the thing is just meant to give him a pleasant massage, nothing else. Nothing happens, and Gronolf seems to be getting nervous, as his front eye is blinking. The cap must have a different purpose, and the EEG function seems to be the most likely one. Marchenko can only find that out by testing it. The problem is that he is definitely not sensitive for the electromagnetic waves used to stimulate the alien's nerves. The cap won't function as an EEG helmet for him. He needs the original form of the data that Gronolf wants to transmit to him. First, he would have to destroy the cap. Hopefully there are no important alien religious or cultural ideas attached to it. Now that they are getting along so well with him, he'd rather not risk that. He also has no clue how to explain to Gronolf what he is planning to do. It can't be helped. Sometimes you have to take a risk if you want to get ahead. Marchenko takes the cap in one hand and the cable in the other. He suddenly rips the connection. Gronolf jumps up, but does not say anything. Marchenko keeps his eyes on the alien's dangerous load arms, yet the extraterrestrial allows him to proceed. Marchenko examines the cable. It contains transparent fibers below a plastic-like covering. It seems to transfer data optically, in the form of light. Marchenko opens a flap on the left side of his torso. There, the nanofabricators have provided various inputs, including ones for optical signals. He will probably have to adapt them once the cable is connected with his body. He involuntarily imagines giving a monstrous AI access to his body this way. Of course, that is a silly idea. But the image is vivid and makes him pause briefly. He notices Gronolf watching him intently. He does not sense any hostility, so he closes the connection. As expected, he first has to adjust the frequencies and the signal strength, and then find out which modulation is used. The alien technology employs an extremely high clock speed. If he cannot slow down the rushing data stream, it will flood him like a tsunami. He can only hope the aliens thought of something like a feedback loop so that a weaker receiver can lower the value. 5 minutes later, the technical adaptation is finished. Via the cable, he receives a clean test signal now, which shows him a silver ellipse with two green focal points. It is interesting that the aliens also encode numbers in a binary system, even though they count based on a system of 7. He found out that the data stream contains three-dimensional images, 45 of which are transmitted per second. This might correspond to the abilities of the alien's visual system, which then would be much more capable of perceiving movement than human eyes are. The audio data reaches all the way to ultrasound. In addition, there are two additional data streams he cannot assign. They probably correspond to other senses, perhaps smell and touch. As he lacks the necessary perception due to his different anatomy, he cannot evaluate these data streams. Therefore, he ignores them. The cap definitely is a sophisticated construct. When Gronolf uses it, he might be able to directly visualize the past.
"So," he says loudly in Gronolf's direction.
"So," the alien replies. He leans over the control panel and starts typing. The first flood of images is so exhausting, Marchenko is glad to be sitting in a comfortable chair. What he sees is absolutely foreign. His consciousness needs considerably more time to process each image than usual. If he still were human, he would probably react with nausea or panic. Yet he lets the flood sweep over him and picks images to analyze in intervals he can handle. This means that he misses some information during the first minutes, but he will have to live with that. Marchenko lands with both legs on a planet the likes of which he has never seen before. The ground is soft, the atmosphere is warm, and two suns shine in a green sky. Only the vegetation seems hostile, probably because a bilious green color has replaced the soft green of Earth. He has no time to get used to this environment. Suddenly he is in the middle of a gathering of the inhabitants that he immediately recognizes as Gronolf's siblings. He follows their conversations. His mind is swamped by the alien language, and he finally has so much material that the development of a linguistic model is only a question of time. He assigns parts of his resources to that task so that he can continue focusing on the images. The system appears to give him a historical overview of this civilization, and the language center already provides the first translations. It is overwhelming to discover so many parallels to developments on Earth, but also so many different paths taken by this civilization. Now he is on board a spaceship. He notices this right away by the change in gravity. It is the majestic draft, as he now knows, and his initial translation of the name was not that far off. The ship is on the way to the single sun, Proxima Centauri in his language, where the Grossnops have discovered a planet that might be suitable for colonization. Marchenko carefully observes the growing alienation between the AI and the crew. The idea of subjecting artificial and natural intelligences to the same rules might sound just, but he already knows what effects it had in this case. Marchenko sees the hopeless struggle of the crew against the omniscience and the landing of the Grossnops on this planet. He watches the construction of the building in the ice and the attempt of a part of the crew to return to dual sun using small shuttles. Now he also knows it won't be easy to subdue the alien AI. A warning signal returns Marchenko to the present. Now 90% of the free memory in his body has been filled. He is no omniscience, and will never become one, as he lacks the resources. It will be hard to get rid of at least 2/3 of the knowledge he just acquired. Marchenko is already running algorithms to separate important information from unimportant. He keeps the linguistic ability. Now they can finally talk to Gronolf without any obstacles. First, one critical question must be answered. Where can they get a rocket to take them to the alien spaceship?